This is the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast, helping you run your restaurant better.
Welcome back to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. We thank our audience out there every single time because I know that you guys have got hundreds of thousands of choices to of how you want to spend your time, and we value it, and we appreciate the fact that you guys come and listen to the nonsense that I put out there onto the airwaves. But it has been a fun journey, and it's always fun to hear back from the audience members. As we've kind of changed the format over the last couple of years with COVID hitting, this episode is not a whole lot different. Today, I have found a fantastic guest that is going to thrill you guys and share lots of different things that I think are going to be cool. But I'm going to let him start that approach. I am joined by Emmanuel, and I'm going to hack his name. I'll just let you say your last name because I wrote it down, and I'm like, I'm going to screw this up because I'm not going to say it properly. Emmanuel, why don't you tell our audience out there a little bit about who you are, and then we can talk a little bit about why we've got you on the show.
Hey, Jeremy. Thank you. Yeah, so I'm Emmanuel Massene, and I'm leading a company named Quali, and we are currently automating quality control for pizza.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And you and I connected very recently, and it was kind of interesting when you shared kind of the value proposition of what you guys were doing, and I was like, this is awesome. I think this is a great idea, and I think it's something that that we need to consider having you on the show. And I know pizza is a huge market here in the U.S. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about Quali, what Quali is, and then we'll dig into why you guys have figured out that this is a problem that we need to start to work on within the restaurant industry.
Yeah, of course. So I think a lot of the pains of restaurants in general lie in the kitchen. However, a lot of the technology actually addresses the front of the restaurant. There are plenty of POS, plenty of delivery services, plenty of customer acquisition services, marketing, digital, lots of things to do. However, at the kitchen level, there is not so many options. Basically, what we have available is a task manager, which is cool, but it's probably not enough for all the topics and the pains that we can have in the kitchen. And so the team and myself, we have a lot of expertise in AI and specifically in computer vision. Computer vision has become one of the most subsegment of AI, one of the subsegments of AI that has improved the most. Mm-hmm. And so we were thinking, okay, there are many, many things that we can do from within the kitchen to improve, restaurants' operations, which in the end is, I would say, the main topic. And it is what a lot of people, stress about every day. And so basically what we're doing here is that we set up a little camera. We set it up on the cut table of the kitchen. We record absolutely everything. And as soon as we detect the pizza, we get the perfect picture of it, and we grade it according to the exact brand guidelines.
Yeah.
So it's all automated. It's full speed. You don't have to slow down. The operator doesn't have to do anything. So it's pretty cool so far.
I think when we were going back and forth talking about kind of what you guys were solving, it might be the largest issue that I have been hearing as a consistent issue about, there's really three that I continue to hear from brand operators and technologists about where things are going. And this is probably one of the top three. Definitively, the last phone call I was just on was with a brand that, was 80, 90% in store. And when you had a product problem in store, you could go fix it. I would walk back up to the counter and say, I asked for no onions on this taco, and you put onions on this taco, and you know what? Fix it. But when 50% of the business went out the door, it changed. And figuring out how to solve kind of that food quality, which, you guys had a little pun on the name of Quali. Tell me a little bit about, I'd love to hear a little bit about the inception of Quali as the name. But it really is one of those things that I think is the next level that kitchen operators are struggling with. Talk to me a little bit about where it came from. Are you a technologist at heart? Are you just a guy that really likes pizza and was tired of getting your pizza screwed up when it showed up and said, I got to go figure out this problem. Tim Ferriss always talks about, scratching your own itch, figure out maybe you're just one of those pizza guys that says, I got to have the right thing. And it's showing up on a Friday night and I'm pissed because I didn't get the right order.
Well, it actually started a little bit like this. So the name Quali, of course, it's phonetically, it's quality, right? It's spelled Quali.
Such a tech thing to do to make people have a hard time figuring it out. But I'll let you finish. Sorry about that.
But we like the aesthetic of the name. We like the phonetics of the name. It wasn't taken. You know, nowadays mm-hmm. there's so many startups everywhere that it's hard also to be original and to keep having a domain. So yeah, on the name it was like this. And so we were working on a software company for fast food before that. So this is our actually second startup, to put it one way. And the same team, so we were struck, you know, by the COVID. It wasn't easy, and we were ordering a lot of pizzas and at some, you know, like to cheer up the team and everything. And at some point we were wondering, like, okay, like how is it possible? Just like you mentioned, how is it possible, like on five different pepperoni pizzas, they don't look the same. They almost taste the same, but it's not the same look and feel, you know, it's mm-hmm. not the same experience. Something is different about them.
Yep.
And we were thinking, because we're already an AI focused company, we're thinking like, oh my God, how hard can it really be? You know? And that's pretty much how it started, like a fun game, like a team building thing, because we would always order pizza for team building. And one day in the same building, I was in the elevator of an old friend, in the same elevator. And he was like, you know, we've been having lots of consumers, like, you know, arguing about the quality, like saying it's not the same. And whenever we ask our operators always say we're good, you know, mm-hmm. but then yep. customers would say, nope, you're not.
It is the number one complaint in most brands right now. And I mean, I can tell you four different brands that are big publicly traded companies that their number one complaint is food quality is not the same, or it doesn't come out consistently. And then you add all the complexities of third party delivery and takeout and all of that. I'll let you finish. So, but this was what this guy was telling you
absolutely. And it makes a lot of sense when you think about quick service restaurants or even, you know, like chain restaurants, or casual restaurants. When the most important thing here is that you have a brand promise, right? Mm-hmm. You just had the Super Bowl, you had, you know, food companies showing you this beautiful, amazing food, and you kind of crave the emotion that the ad is, you know, making you feel. Mm-hmm. And so when you pick up the phone and you're like, hey, you know, I want to order this and this and that, and then you get the order, you actually want to satisfy the same desire you had watching the ad.
Absolutely.
So this is called the brand promise, right? And the brand promise, you need to keep up to it. And the thing is, the operator and the franchisor or the, you know, like sometimes it's not always the same diligence, the same commitment to the preparation, to the quality, to the production. And so this is pretty much how we started. And so, yeah, we've been putting a lot of effort into it. We've been working on it for 2 years. We started with a MVP, you know, minimum viable product. Mm-hmm. That's a funny story, by the way. I think in AI, usually it's kind of okay-ish to make an MVP.
Yep.
Usually always get kind of, you know, it's doable to get good results. But the big tricky part is when you want to reach scale. When mm-hmm. you want to reach scale, it's a whole new different concept. And if you, you know, think about it, there are not so many AI companies that have made it mainstream outside of software. But it's kind of interesting. So we've mm-hmm. been working, I would say, most of last year on taking the MVP to the scalable level. And currently we have an industrial grade product. So I'm very happy about that, which means that if the day of tomorrow we have an order for 1,000 stores, we could fulfill that order in less than 2 months.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So how long has the product been around? You were saying just a couple of years now, or a year and a half?
So we've been working on the product, like on the tech side of the product, I would say for 2 years. Okay. And then we started, you know, with some customers that were willing to MVP it with us. Mm-hmm. And we started to go to market, I would say, about 2 months ago. We're starting to push it around, you know, cold calling, referrals, testimonials.
Being on podcasts about restaurant technology.
Podcasts like here, stuff like that.
Very cool. So for our audience members out there, because I even got educated, our CTO, we're working on a kitchen project that I'll share with you in a little bit, that's AI-driven and computer learning. For our audience members that are not familiar with AI, like a lot of people think of the Terminator or, you know, Elon and a lot of these big mm-hmm. people, you got to be careful with AI because if it's not done properly, it could harm people. And so I think a lot of people, kind of like crypto, they get scared and they stay away from it. Talk to me a little bit about kind of how you guys would define AI, because I got educated probably about a year ago. I live in this space, but you know what? We talk tech all the time. many of our restaurant operators don't even know what that is. And they might go, AI, that's going to take over my restaurant. It's going to take away jobs. It's going to screw people up. It's going to make it so that I'm not even needed anymore as the owner. Talk to me a little bit about how you guys would define AI, because then I'd love to talk a little bit about how you guys are solving through AI some of the challenges that people are having.
Of course. So there are many depth to address the question, and I think it's not the purpose to go very into technical issues, but if we keep it to a broader level, I think AI for us is a couple of verbs. So basically, you can predict a couple of things, you can classify a couple of things, you can predict, classify. I'm forgetting one or two more. Basically, this is what you can do with AI. Mm-hmm. There are different things. AI started with software. So software usually has a lot of huge databases, very often, user-generated content like, Facebook, Instagram, Google. A lot of people are putting inputs, and so they have so much data points, like billions and billions of them. Yep. But making sense of that is not too hard. Like, you always end up finding a trend. Like, if you look for, coughing, probably the prediction would be COVID symptoms or stuff like that. So that's a simple form of AI. And of course, you can go very complex. So I think the hard part to do AI outside of the software environment is that you don't have billions of data points. Actually, if you're lucky, you have a few hundred. And so that changes the whole thing. Models, it's math, by the way. AI is math. It's not too much computer science. It's math. So it's different talent. It's different teams, different culture as well. So that's also interesting. And we've been working on that, I would say, for the last 10 years. So this for us, at least, it's been a topic that we're quite passionate about. And computer vision is one of the subsegments of AI that has been benefiting the most from the current trends, and the current trends being having more data.
Yep.
And at the same time, having more affordable computing power. And affordable computing power, something very simple, right? Amazon Web Services, Google Cloud, or Azure on Microsoft. And this is, I think, the most important thing. So basically, you can, I would say, delegate or automate or outsource simple tasks to AI. Mm-hmm. I'm not a great fan of the media talking, or even some, very famous influencers talking about this general AI and that robots are taking over the world. I don't think it's like this, because I live in it, and it's actually hard to detect pizzas. So
it's hard to detect pizzas. And how many times has Tesla pulled back their, their self-driving cars? I mean, they start it and then it comes back, and they start it and comes back, because it's hard. It's hard to factor in all of those variables. It's actually one of the thought processes that I want to go down, is why pizza versus burgers versus, and I'm sure you guys have a reason, but I'll let you kind of finish up a little bit about, because I think the whole concept of the computer learning, the computer learning through that visual aspect, I think is a newer part of AI, is it not? Like, having that camera be able to see what's going on within the environment, either that or in our space, I haven't heard as many use cases as it relates to that.
Exactly. I think it's not an easy topic. Again, you need many, 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 many data points. And so that's not easy to get. I think there was a lot of, I would say, advancements that were done, especially on people recognition, face recognition. We had the Facebook scandal not too long ago. And this is why you have a lot of companies also focusing on accounting the number of people in the restaurants, like, computer vision for the front of the restaurant. And the problem with that is that, first of all, in my opinion, at least, it's not, like, the technology is out there. You can put it whatever flavor you want on it. Mm-hmm. And second of all, you always have this kind of personal data issue. Like, a lot of people don't want to be part of that database. And so at some point, you need to be careful with that. So by addressing the kitchen, we kind of innovate a lot. First of all, it's new models. It's not the same thing. You can't just plug in, take what you had for people and put it for pizzas. It doesn't work like this. And at the same time, you don't have the personal data issue. It's just pizzas that we're checking.
I'm going to say the pizzas aren't going to complain and sue you for knowing how many pepperonis were on them. Yeah. So, yeah, I'd love a little quick riff, Emmanuel, on kind of a project that we're working on, because we started a small project where we're taking kitchen cook times from the KDS system and starting to do predictive analytics about what's going to happen within the kitchen when you get, you know, an order with nine pizzas on it versus eight pizzas versus six pizzas. And if I have too many ingredients, what does it look like? And so we've started to take KDS data and started to figure out that any order that has chicken on it is going to be 20% longer than every other order that's in, you know, an order that doesn't have chicken on it. And so figuring out how to expedite those things and really staff to those levels is a project that we're working on the output data from KDS. Just since you live in that world, any opinions on that before we dig into kind of pizza and how you guys are solving the pizza issue?
I can say it sounds good. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, it is not only the staffing issues, but just trying to figure out how do you get more throughput from the same four walls that you have from the same kitchen. Food costs are going up, and figuring out how to do that is, and using computers to help enhance that, not necessarily just is something that I want our audience to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a great, great believer of what you just said. And this is exactly what we're trying to do at Qualia as well, is that in the kitchen, back in the days, I mean, before us, right, before this kind of technology came into play, we didn't have any kind of valid information. We just had, you know, ingredients that we bought and then sales. And then in the between, we didn't really know what happened.
Yes.
Nothing happened, but we didn't really know. Even inventory was hard. Churn was hard. Food churn was hard and stuff like that. So right now, I think it's a whole new era for the restaurant operations, because we can measure. And we can measure accurately, and we can measure 100% of the process.
Yep.
So you can start doing exactly what you guys are doing. You can start not only like having data points, but then you can start to play around and to forecast things.
Yep.
What is going to happen if we do this and that? What if we try a new strategy? What if we innovate on this? And this is exactly the kind of things we want to enable with our technology as well, because if you can measure, well, you can optimize, and you can enter what we call a performance-based culture. The idea here is that the technology is for the service of the team and not the other way around. And so the team can learn from it as well. They can, you know, benefit. So one of the things we want to highlight is that very often, especially in quick service restaurants, the work culture was very oriented on supervision. And sometimes supervision can lead to micromanagement, and that can be kind of annoying for everybody, right? For the boss, for the employee, for the customer, like it's not smooth. However, all the papers tell you that the more autonomy, the more responsibility you give to employees, the better they thrive, the better, you know, the product is, they are happier, everybody's better. So it's like a win-win for everybody. So this is exactly what we're trying to do here, is that with our technology, the idea is to help retain talented employees. So we want to identify and engage with shift that outperform other shift, congratulate them, let them know, you know, that they're good, that they're doing a good job. And I think this is part of the new dynamic that we want to push, which is, instead of supervision, why don't you become a mentor? Why don't you enable and give the tools to your team for them to operate at the restaurant? This is very important for us. Another thing that we're doing is adding another little part of AI. So it's not only computer vision, it's computer vision plus. And the computer vision plus would be another part called natural language processing. So this is when usually you know, the computer reads for you and makes an understanding of reviews in that case. And so we're doing an online reviews monitoring that we're attributing to each restaurant.
Oh, so interesting.
We have the quality, right? Who's qualifying the quality of your food items. And then at the same time, we're going to show you the evolution of the reviews online, just to let you know that your quality is actually having a real impact on consumers, and consumers are becoming more happy.
Love that. Love that. And one of the sponsors for the podcast in the past was a company called Pop Menu, and they do exactly that. They deal with that you know, that level of the reviews. But I think it's great that you guys are really looking to measure the performance changes. I want to give you a story of a brand that we work with that has a full-time position within their restaurants for casual dining. It's a brand called Cheesecake Factory. They have a full-time person that their job is to watch the food that's coming out of the kitchen to make sure that it matches the quality. If you've ever been to the Cheesecake Factory, they got, you know, 250 menu items. The menu is like a book. They do stuff at a really high quality level. And they had a full time, and there was a story that was aired on PBS a number of years ago called Into the Fire that was all about how they automate their kitchen. It was before they had KDS, it was tickets. And, you know, it was on public broadcast. It was probably 15 years ago that they'd come out and, you know, we had helped them automate their kitchen with KDS, but still the quality was a challenge. The second side of that is this whole idea that so many things, and you guys started in fast food, you guys started in where almost everything is wrapped in a box or in a bag or in something, you know, it's standardized, but it's always wrapped up. So you can't see it. At Cheesecake Factory, they put a plate up in the window. You can see it. And you can see if that ticket showed no tomatoes and if it had tomatoes on it. In a Big Mac that's in a clamshell, you can't tell if the Big Mac has no tomatoes or not unless you caught it before it went into the box. Talk to me a little. I mean, I guess, are you guys trying to create, you know, this computer vision idea of what that food quality manager position was for pizza? Is that kind of really what you guys are looking to do, is to make sure if it's supposed to have 24 pepperonis, it has 24 pepperonis, that they're spaced properly, that the pizza's cut properly, the pizza's put in the box properly? I watched some of the marketing videos, but like, I'm still baffled that you guys have a way to solve this problem, quite frankly, because again, even with humans, there's huge bits of error, and I'm sure there is with some of the computer vision stuff, but is that really what you guys are trying to solve for?
Yeah. I think we're definitely going that way. I think this is one of the ways we're going. And I think another part of what we're trying to build here is to become, in the long term, of course, it's going to be quite the road to get there. But the idea is to build the leading company for food AI. The difficulty, I would say, with both of them is that AI, as I mentioned, is not really, you know, a magic wand. It's not Harry Potter. You just, mm-hmm. you know, you need to build, and you need to build from scratch. The community, the research community hasn't been oriented on food. You have a lot of apps out there, for instance, the typical thing where you take a picture of your plates and the app tells you how many calories you have or how many stuff like that. So I don't know if you've used any of those, but very often, you know, they make mistakes. Like yep. they misidentify the food you have in your plate. And so the whole thing, well, in the end, doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, like the accuracy is not too big. And I think this is part of the DNA problem that we find in current AI, is that we don't have all those data points. Mm-hmm. The data points need to be labeled. Labelization is super expensive and it needs to be a lot. So I think the fact that we're starting with pizza is pretty much our way to find a market entry strategy. Mm-hmm. It's easier, as you just mentioned. Pizza is easier than a burger, right? Uh-huh. It's not, the pizza is not wrapped, and with one picture you can know if it was well done or, you know, could have been better.
Yep.
So that's one thing. We've been working for many years, more than two, by the way, on technology to actually address use cases like a burger, where the food is on a sequence. So okay. What you want to know is if that person followed the sequence, the process yep. that they needed to do, and most fast food have that. So we're working on this. I know we have a little bit of competition on that too. Like early companies like us are trying to address this. So I'm very excited. It's a very demanding topic. I think mm-hmm. the outcome is going to be challenging for everybody as well. But I think this is where we need to go as a society as well. I think computer vision for food will help us switch around the whole, I would say, food industry as a whole, from agriculture to, you know, like nutrition. Yep. As an industry, we need to improve, you know, lessen the water usage, lessen the waste. Yeah. Increase the quality. This is definitely something that we're looking for. And I think consumers also are changing. You know, back in the days, it was a lot of, yeah, just give me the food fast. Yep. And now it's like, give me the food fast, but I want good food. You know, like uh-huh. there's a
I
lot
want it to taste good. I want it to be, you know, organic. I want it to be grown, you know, sustainably and all of those
and
kind of
things. And customized. Like, and yep. that one without this and this one without that. And so you need to be able to track. I think, cooks, chefs, and teams in the kitchen are doing an amazing job, but they need help. Mm-hmm. They need help. And especially at rush hours. Like, I don't know if you've seen a kitchen during rush hours.
Have I seen a kitchen? I've been doing this for 25 years. It's a, right? It's a zoo back there,
it's
right?
It's nuts. It's nuts. Yeah. They don't stop. And I think we need to help them. And I think there are ways to help them to just, like you mentioned the pepperoni, right? Right now, they very often in many pizza shops, they need to count. Mm-hmm. Do you know what counting pepperonis all day means? It's very tedious, you know?
Yes.
And of course, you get confused because you have a thought that comes into mind and you lost a count and then you forgot one or you put one more and then the margin is gone. And so mm-hmm. your boss is not going to be happy. Or you forgot one and then your customer is going to, you know, report, hey, you know what? Like my slice didn't have a pepperoni. Like I'm not uh-huh. happy. So yep. we can help that. And this is what we're doing.
I love it. I love it. Before we jump too far into the recording today, audience, I want to point you guys back to somebody that's been a longtime advertiser and a longtime partner of the Restaurant Technology Guys, the guys over at Pop Menu. And they are bringing something even new and related to the guest experience and helping your restaurant to operate better. If you remember back from the time that they were on the show, they do a lot in the way of guest experience. But their newest product, the Pop Menu Answering Solution, is an AI-based computerized technology that helps answer some of those basic questions that you guys have that come into your restaurant from, do you have outdoor seating? Are, you know, what hours are you guys open? What, you know, are reservations available? Do you guys take online ordering? Do you guys have third-party delivery? Some of these basic questions that take up your team members and don't give them the opportunity to deal with the guest that's in front of them. They built a solution that is AI-driven, not bad AI, but AI that really is humanized to be able to answer those basic questions for the people that are calling in and allowing your team members the opportunity to interact with the guests that are sitting in your lobby and are coming into the door. For listeners of the podcast, the team over at Pop Menu has offered $100 off if you go to popmenu.com/techguys. And your first month will be $100 off of this service if you sign up for the Pop Menu answering service. I would strongly suggest you guys check it out because I know even for myself as a guest of restaurants, when I'm dealing with the front desk and they're constantly on the phone, it's really tough to interact with them and want to stay there waiting. So check them out. popmenu.com/techguys. You talked about why you guys did pizza. Is it really just because it's a relatively flat product with, you know, with some fair dimensions? Whereas kind of, because I do want to get into how you see the evolution of the product. You know, I've had this vision. I actually, if you were to go back probably about 10 episodes, 12 episodes, I was talking to a team. They had asked me my prediction. I had a guest on and they're like, hey, what's your prediction? I said, I think there's going to be computer vision that's going to look at the assembly tray, that's going to look at the deal and know the order came through the KDS and it's going to say this had no onions on it. And they saw the guy pop an onion and it's going to change the color on the KDS saying you put onions on that taco or it's on a flour tortilla and it should have been on a corn tortilla.
Absolutely.
Is that where it's going?
Yes.
Is that where it's going?
I mean, that's where we are going. So as I mentioned, we it's going to take a little bit of time. It's not
working
full time right now. Right now we're focusing on pizza. But we are having a small wait list. So currently we work basically with pizza chain companies. I would say, you know, Papa John's, Domino's, Pizza Hut, Little Caesars and the likes. Mm-hmm. There are many, many. You mentioned why. Well, first of all, because they are tech pioneers. Many of them, like, you know, looking forward for tech. Mm-hmm. They benefited from COVID with the delivery system.
Absolutely.
So I think they have also money to invest. So that's really, you know, timely, to put it one way. Mm-hmm. And then we have the factibility in terms of tech, right? If it's not doable right now, if you show up with a product that is not accurate enough, then, you know, the traction is not good enough. People, you know, you don't have the testimonials you wanted and everything starts to be different. And at the same time, just to mention, I think we have to have in mind that AI is something. You can have an amazing and very accurate solution, but you need to keep in mind that quick service restaurants needs it to be affordable.
Yep.
And that's a whole new thing because it needs to be robust, mm-hmm. accurate, and affordable. And so this is very challenging. And made in the US, right? You don't want to, you know, have this from countries where you have supply chain problems and stuff like that. So this is what we're doing. So far, it's working really good. We have great testimonials. We've been increasing, you know, employee retention. We've been decreasing the amount of bad pizzas coming out of the oven. We've been helping stores to target train and, you know, keep the budget in check. So that has been great. And yes, we are having a little bit of a wait list for companies that are in the burger scene or in the coffee, the coffee companies like Tim Hortons or Starbucks are knocking on the door to also automate some processes. Because in the end, it's all about a process. We also saw the movie about the McDonald's founder.
Yeah.
You know, the speedy system, and now it's the new era of the speedy system.
I love it. And the other thing that I want to remind our listeners to is the idea that you brought up earlier when you're talking about the brand promise. Because if I go to Little Caesars, for example, and I know that every square of pizza is supposed to have four pepperonis, and I only get three, I'm going to feel like I didn't get what I paid for. You know, even though it's really inexpensive pizza and I shouldn't be complaining that I only got three pepperonis versus four, but that's a different story altogether. And I love the idea of, I just got back in the fall. I was at the Restaurant Leadership Conference in Phoenix, and the CEO of Domino's was on stage, and he was talking about the fact that they're a tech company that sells pizza more so than they are a pizza company that uses tech to automate their stuff. I mean, they're, know some people up at Starbucks as well. And they're like, you know what, we spend more on tech than we do on just about anything else other than coffee. So
I totally agree on that. I think quality at some point is the number one reason why people buy. I mean, why did you buy your car? Because you thought it was good quality. Why did you buy your phone? Because you thought it was good quality.
Yep.
Why do you buy your food? It's because you think it's good quality for the price and for what you want at the moment.
Yep. So I think absolutely.
When you think about the companies and all, you know, the marketing budget that is huge, and it's amazing because it's, you know, for customer acquisition, you want to have more sales, you want to, you pay to get more customers with marketing. The thing is, there is a cost of a poor quality good. And the cost is the fact that if you can retain that customer for a longer time because you have good quality, then you don't need to pay to reacquire it because he shifted to another, you know, another store. So this is very important. And at the same time, our current customers realize that if your customers are happy with the quality, the average selling ticket goes higher as well. So you improve the frequency of buying, you improve the average selling ticket, and that person never really leaves your company.
Well, you build trust too.
So
you build trust. Yeah, you build trust with them that they're coming back. Talk to me about the blocking and tackling of how, not the tech works, but if I'm an operator, and I'm now in the front of the house working the cashier, and I've got a pizza maker in the back that doesn't do his job appropriately. What happens? How do I get notified? How do I change it? How do I fix it? You know, let's get down to, I've got the system installed. I'm sold. I want this. I know I need this. How do I get to a place where it's actually making my brand better? And if you're not allowed to talk about it, you know, that's fine. I want to know. I've got a 17-year-old kid that started 2 weeks ago. He read the manual. He watched the LMS system. It told him to do pizzas this way. He's got a little board in front of him that says 16 pepperonis on a medium pie. And he throws 30 of them on there, or he throws five of them on there. What does the technology do to change the operational efficiency so that you can get the results that we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes?
Great question. So first of all, the operation, like to get our camera installed, it's super easy. We do all the work. So our customers don't have to worry about, you know, more tech in the kitchen or more operations. We do it for them. It's included in the price. It takes us 15 minutes to set up the camera in the kitchen, okay, on app.
Wow.
So it's really plug and play. We need an internet cable. We need a power cable, and that's it. We plug the camera, and we start scoring pizzas. So how does it work? The camera is recording all the time. When there is nothing to record, the camera is just, you know, on standby. When we identify a pizza, we're going to take a perfect snapshot of that pizza. We will then apply the exact scoring guidelines of the brand, and we will put all this data in our dashboard. So the dashboard is currently composed of different parts, right? So you can have pizza by pizza. So you, I don't know, you want to check all the pepperonis, you want to check, you know, all the cheese, you know, whatever the name of the pizzas or specialty pizzas that you have, you can check by this. And at the same time, you can have an aggregate view, and you can filter by shift. And I think this is where it becomes really interesting, because just like I mentioned earlier, the idea here is to make technology an enhancer of an employee and to make them work better and to improve the work culture in the company. So the idea here is that it's based on the shift. You wouldn't be addressing an error right away, like okay. You mentioned the cashier and an error happening, you would address that with the change of shifts.
Okay.
So by the next shift, you would say, everybody, hey guys, you know, we had an average score of, I don't know, 7.5 over 10 during the last shift. Maybe, you know, let's like motivate ourselves to reach a 9 this time. And, you know, if everybody gets it, let's, you know, a ticket for the movies or whatever. You can create a kind of a positive dynamic, gamification of the work. You can make it like this. You can put a theme on it as well. You know, like, hey, today we're going to focus on having the best pepperonis in the world. We're going to, you know, make a title, Mr. Pepperoni or whatever it is. So this is pretty much how it looks like. We also identify the shifts of the different stores that share the same problems. Like for whatever reason, I don't know, like you have a lot of stores under management and you realize, or at least we tell you, like, hey, you know, among all the stores you have, maybe 10 of those have a problem with the dough and mm-hmm. another 8 have a problem with the cheese. Okay, cool. So now I know that for the shifts of those stores, I'm going to target train on those specific topics. And so you're going to send the dough training to the guy that need it, and you're going to send the cheese training to the teams that need it.
I love that. And I know that many of our former guests, and I'm a big proponent of it, tech for tech's sake doesn't do anything. But tech that is actionable, that's going to help change a behavior, is really, really critical. Have you guys delved into the whole food safety issue of I've got a nut allergy and nuts came through? I know you guys aren't doing anything real time, but I know that food safety and food quality, to make sure that, you know, you're not giving out raw chicken or you're not putting peanuts on something that's not supposed to have peanuts. Has anybody broached that subject with you guys yet? Just because, again, as I talk with our clients.
Not really. We thought about it. I think it's more complex in the sense that it has regulation into it. So you need to be very, very careful about what you do, promise, and say. It's, you know, you have the FDA not too far away. You actually need, I think there are some regulations that push you to actually have physical and presential tests. So I think it's something that technology can help, but it's not something maybe we can replace right away.
Yep.
I think the better way to look at us would be like automated mystery shopper, to put it one way.
Yep.
And at the same time, I want to remind this is that up until now, like nobody had a clue about the production. Like if you own 100 pizza shops, you get no clue about the pizzas that are coming out of your stores. You do not know. You just pray every day that everything went well. Sometimes you review, you know, the Google reviews and you find out that it's not exactly the case. And now what we offer is that you have full visibility. You can, you know, watch it from the palm of your hand, from your phone. You don't need to be going store by store just to check on them, just to make sure things are okay. So we can do that. And I think it's definitely a new beginning for the kitchen.
I love that. The other thing I'd love to I guess throw out there, and don't know if you guys have enough data quite yet to know for sure, that whole Peter Drucker, you know, gets measured and managed, improves. You know, the minute you put the camera in, I promise you the quality is going to go up regardless of whether you're using any AI to notify anybody. Because once they know they're looking, that you're looking, they're going to change their behaviors, right? I mean, that's just a fact of life. You know, you throw cameras into the... Yeah, it's human behavior. Once people know that you're looking, once my kids know that I'm watching the candy jar, you know, they're not going to eat as much candy. You know, it's just the way life works and the way humans are. Have you guys seen a huge uptick in the beginning of the quality, and then give me some of the trends that you see, and I guess ultimately, what are the results that you're seeing? Not on a macro level. Yeah, I get macro. You know, you're going to see a 5% increase in your Yelp scores and your Google review scores because of your quality. But I'm sure you guys, because you guys are data people and you guys are, you know, science, you know, data science people, you know, you guys are technologists. You guys probably saw a big uptick and then a little drop, and then management has to come back in. But talk to me a little bit about what that looks like as an operator. You know, you talked about what behaviors I need to change, but what are you seeing when you put it into that 100 store chain? You give them that data. Does it improve instantly? Does it improve over time? Do you see people that it even goes down after, you know, because they're not managing it, because you guys aren't at a place that you guys can make the pizzas yet? So somebody still needs to manage that person to put 17 pepperonis on there. So talk to me a little bit about absolutely. What that looks like.
So it's funny you mentioned, because part of the added value is not only the technology, we also offer something called the Quality Academy. The Quality Academy is how do you change your work routine? And that goes from the COO to director of operations to store manager and training and recruiting. How do you change your routine to actually make Quality's tool to switch the company culture towards continuous improvements?
How
do you reach this? Because as you mentioned, we're big believers in humanity, in teams, in what we do with our hands, right? So technology always is an enhancer, an enabler, but it's not enough.
Yep.
And you need to have, just like you mentioned, you need to have a good manager that we now try to shift from supervisor to mentor, right? So all those good practices that we've seen in other industries, we're trying to apply them for the kitchen. It's showing amazing results, actually better than we expected at the beginning. It's funny also because when I was doing some, I was taking the temperature of the market, like were we doing something that had a market, was just a gadget, was this nice to have, or is this something that they're going to love and like, you know, praise ourselves. And when I was doing some cold calling to different, you know, pizza shops, they were telling me, quality is so important that I actually put a dummy camera. I'm not recording. The camera is not even plugged.
That's so funny.
I just put a dummy camera on top of it so my team could, you know, suspect that I was looking at it and improve the quality. Unfortunately, that person was telling me it's not enough. Like it does improve, but just like we said, like people need a little bit of a kickstart. So if you tell the person, like, listen, you need to get the training on the dough or on the cheese in the same example we had before, most people are happy to receive this constructive and positive feedback. They will do the training and they will try to improve and make better.
Absolutely.
That's also human nature. They want to improve. They want to do good. They want to show that they're, you know, worthy and good employees and they want to outperform, maybe have a career in the business. And, you know, they work passionately, especially in pizza. Like pizza makers are passionate about pizza and it's fabulous to work with them. So this is something that we want to highlight. It's not only technology. It comes with a lot of, we accompany you to put this in place. And the overall results is pretty much what I mentioned. We have so every restaurant is different. Every restaurant is having different pains at different moments, right? Yes. Some restaurants were telling us, guys, you guys have been the best because you helped me retain my employees. And with this labor shortage contingency, it's been so hard. And my employees were happy for me to engage, telling them that, you know, they were working well. And at the same time, I was capable of identifying maybe, you know, some laggards that, you know, were just doing this because they had to, but they weren't really committed with it. So that's something that we managed to do. That's something we're very interested. We never thought back in the days we would have an HR benefit. So this is something we discovered on the run. So that's amazing. Another thing that we've seen is that, during the first, one of our customers mentioned during the first weeks, he saw a 30% improve in the quality of pizzas. Mm-hmm. And after a few months with the Quality Academy, he saw an 80% increase.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
So far it's been really cool. And again, I think it's just the beginning. You know, this is pretty much like the phenomenon of a platform. We're just like kind of positioning ourselves in the kitchen, you know, like putting a little bit of technology. There is a lot to do. Just like you mentioned, tracking the sequences of food preparation is something that we're working on that can apply for food service, that can apply for burgers, that can apply for every other food pretty much. It's more difficult, but we're going there. And then I think there is two other things that we're very interested in too. First of all, is the fact that a lot of kitchen appliances are kind of IoT. So they have access to Wi-Fi, but then there is nobody to take over that knowledge and that capability. Mm-hmm. So right now your oven is IoT, but you know, it's right there, IoT for nothing. Nobody's, you know, doing anything with it. So if we're currently kind of promising in guaranteeing the brand promise, maybe in the future we can take over different IoTs of the kitchen and make sure they are setted to the actual standards. Yep. One of our customers, like when he implemented our technology, he was mentioning that one of his stores was 2-3 hours away from downtown. So for him to go to visit that store, it was dreading, you know, like you got to go back and forth in the same day. Like it was very, very consuming. And so he didn't do it that often. And with us, he realized that the oven wasn't cooking enough, you know, it was too low. And so the cheese wasn't melting enough. So this is like, you know, the IoT, we could have seen this earlier and we could have kind of repaired it immediately remotely. So this is one topic. And another topic we would like to dig in the future, and I think it's something that restaurants have a big pain with, is that very often when you have a delivery person coming to your restaurant and asking for an order, well, you have the delivery people on one side, and you have, you know, dining customers, and you have people just taking away the thing. You have one cashier or two. It's really hard for everybody to be happy at that time. You know, it's like a bottleneck for everybody, and everybody's kind of pissed off with the mask on the face. Really hard.
Yes.
So there is a pain, and we were thinking, okay, now that we have that picture of, you know, final product assessment of the pizza, it's the picture right before you close the box, right?
Mm-hmm.
So technically, we know when that order is ready.
Yep.
So we could just send an SMS or a push notification to the delivery person and tell them, listen, until you don't have that push or that SMS, don't even get up.
Yeah, don't sit here waiting in my lobby. Sit in the car. I don't want to see you.
Just stay away until you get the message. As soon as you get the message, you can be sure your order is going to be there for you to just pick up.
Love that concept. Love that concept, because that is another pain point for restaurants is that whole idea of managing that whole, you know, whether, I mean, staff member even, quite frankly, I could see it being in casual dining as well, where you're constantly coming back to the kitchen. Is this ready? Is this ready? Is this ready? You know, we've solved some of it with KDS and an expo, but that was always the problem that I had with some of these systems before, is how do I get the notification if they're not using the KDS and they're using, they're using tickets, you know, in that area of pizza. I love that. What did we miss? I mean, we went all over the place, and I quite frankly, this is like one of these areas that I'm super passionate about, because one, I eat out way too much. Two, I'm passionate about the restaurant industry. And three, I think that there's so much that computers, AI, this computer vision stuff can help with assembly, with preparation, with safety. Like, just all of these things are really going to take off, and it's not going to be computers running your entire kitchen, but it is going to make your food better for what you want.
And less headaches. Less headaches. Like, make restaurants fun again in terms of production, not only for customers, you know, like cooking. I'm a great cook. I love cooking. I love cooking with a little bottle of wine, and like a lot of people, I'm sure. But I love cooking. Cooking is fun. It should be fun for everybody, even when you're working in a restaurant. Like, it has become a very stressful environment. Mm-hmm. COVID isn't helping, we know. But technology is, and so I think this is pretty much like something we want to keep, you know, promoting. Like, let's keep cooking fun, and find different ways of how we can help. And also, again, and I want to highlight this, is like, hey, help on an affordable way. Like, right now our prices, I think nobody has complained about our prices, just to give you an idea. So we're talking about affordable technology. We usually charge what the company used to pay a mystery shopper before. So it's the same budget. They don't need to think about a new budget. It's not innovation, it's operation. So this has been really, really cool, because again, I think, you know, when you have money, you can always dream about amazing tech and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But when you actually want to run a business, the price become a very important component. And if you want to deploy this at a massive scale, well, it needs to make sense for everybody. And yep. I think we achieved that point with industrial grade products. So I think I'm very, very proud of the team that we work with at Qualy. And yeah, maybe mention that we were going to be part of the Pizza Expo in Las Vegas on March 22nd, 24th. So if you guys are around, I would be happy to see you.
Love it. I love it. Well, I for one am super excited about this option. I love the idea of what you guys are doing. I think it's so cool. And I really do think, back to your point, that you're going to give back people quality of life. You're going to have owners that are going to be able to get the quality out there. You're going to solve problems that they didn't even know they had. And ultimately, the staff member is going to be happier, because they're going to have more orders, and so they're going to be busier. They're going to have a lot more going on. Their shifts are going to run faster. And so, I like I said, I'm excited about the options. I'm excited about where the industry is going. Really, really, really fun to sit and chat, with you today. To our audience, guys, we know that you guys have got tons of choices, so we appreciate you guys spending time. if you guys wouldn't mind, we send out a newsletter once a month with all of the podcasts that we posted. If you guys could go online, restauranttechnologyguys.com, subscribe to the newsletter. You get once a month email. Not going to sell your email address to anybody to go get you spammed. It's more just so you don't miss an episode. While you're online, go subscribe to the podcast so that you can hear about cool products like what Qualy's doing for pizzas now, and I'm sure lots of other cool things in the future. Manuel, thank you very much for your time today. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
And to our audience, guys, make it a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. Visit restauranttechnologyguys.com for tips, industry insights, and more to help you run your restaurant better.